Go back to November 1936, date 19. During Mass today, I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "Be at peace, my daughter. I see your efforts, which are very pleasing to me." And the Lord disappeared. It was time for Holy Communion. After I received Holy Communion, I suddenly saw the cenacle, and in it, Jesus and the apostles. I saw the institution of the Most Blessed Sacrament. Jesus allowed me to penetrate his interior, and I came to know the greatness of his majesty, and at the same time, his great humbling of himself. The extraordinary night that allowed me to see his majesty revealed to me at the same time what was in my own soul. You can see how dirty we are. Jesus gave me to know the depth of his meekness and humility, and to understand that he clearly demanded the same of me. Humility, although his great majesty, but so humble, into the piece of bread. I felt the gaze of God in my soul. This filled me with unspeakable love, but I understood that the Lord was looking with love on my virtues and my heroic efforts, and I knew that this was what was drawing God into my heart. It is from this that I have come to understand that it is not enough for me to strive only for the ordinary virtues, but that I must try to exercise the heroic virtues. Although exteriorly a thing may be quite ordinary, it's a different manner that only the eye of God catches. O my Jesus, what I have written is just a pale shadow of what I understand in my soul. These are purely spiritual things, but in order to write something of what the Lord gives me to know, I must use words with which I'm totally dissatisfied, because they don't express the reality. Even should write these words, to exercise virtues, extraordinary virtues, he doesn't know how to explain. Her soul knows Jesus expects something deeper and more difficult, I think. Humanly speaking, he hopes to overcome so many things. He can be satisfied. He exercise more normal virtues, go to people, keep silent, for the glory of God, everything. But God expects her something more. When I experienced these sufferings for the first time, it was like this. After annual vows, on a certain day, during prayer, I saw a great brilliance and issuing from billions rays which completely enveloped me. Then suddenly I felt a terrible pain in my hands, my feet, and my side, and the thorns of the crown of thorns. Kind of experience of stigmata, all the five wounds she experienced. Not outwards, nobody can see, but she can see, she can feel. I experienced these sufferings during Holy Mass on Friday, but this was only for a brief moment. This was repeated for several Fridays, and later on, I did not experience any sufferings up to the present time, so only a few times. That is, up to the end of September of this year. In the course of the present illness, during Holy Mass, on Friday, I felt myself pierced by the same sufferings, and this has been repeated on every Friday, and sometimes when I meet a soul that is not in a state of grace. is kind of victim soul, itself for the sake of sinners. Although this is infrequent and the suffering lasts a very short time, still it is terrible and I will not be able to bear it without a special grace from God. Even little things, with the help of God, we can't stand. There is no outward indication of these sufferings. What will come later, I do not know. All this for the sake of souls, whatever she offered for the sake of souls. November 21st, 1936. Jesus, you see that I am neither gravely ill nor in good health. You fill my soul with enthusiasm for action, and I have low strength. The fire of your love burns in me, and for what I cannot accomplish by physical strength, love will compensate. Jesus, my spirit yearns for you, and I desire very much to be united with you, but your works hold me back. The number of souls that I am to bring to you is not yet complete. I desire toil and suffering. Let everything you have planned before the ages be fulfilled in me. O my Creator and Lord, it's only your word that I understand. It alone gives me strength. The Spirit, O Lord, is the spirit of peace, and nothing troubled my death because you dwell there, O Lord. I know that I'm under your special gaze, O Lord. I do not examine with fear your plan regarding me. My task is to accept everything from your hand. I do not fear anything. Although the storm is raging and frightful boats strike all around me, and I then feel quite unknown. Loneliness, but not without peace, because Jesus is with us. Yet my heart senses you, and my trust grows, and I see and your omnipotence which have told me. With you, Jesus, I go through life amid storms and rainbows, with cry of joy, singing the song of your mercy. I will not stop singing my song of love until the choir of angels picks it up. There is no power that can stop me in my flight toward God. I see that even the superiors do not always understand the road along which God is leading me. And I'm not surprised at this. So even the superior at times, they don't understand what she's doing, what she wants. So much pain, so much joy. Once I saw Father Sapoco praying as he was reflecting on these matters, then I saw how a ring of lights appeared suddenly above his head. Although distance separates us, I often see him, especially as he worked at his desk despite his fatigue. It's interesting. At times you can attend Mass in Rome, right? She stay in Poland, and then she can attend Mass with the Pope, the Basilica. November 22nd, 1936. Today, during confession, the Lord Jesus spoke to me through the lips of a certain priest. This priest did not know my soul, and only accused myself of my sins. Yet he spoke these words to me: accomplish faithfully everything that Jesus asks of you, despite the difficulties. Know that although people may be angry with you, Jesus is not angry and never will be angry with you. Pay no attention to human opinion. This instruction surprised me at first, but I understood that the Lord was speaking through him without his realizing it. O holy mystery, what great treasure are contained in you. O holy faith, you are my guidepost. November 24th, today I received a letter from Father Sapoco. I learned from it that God himself is conducting the whole affair. As the Lord has begun it, so will He continue to carry it along. And the greater the difficulties which I see, the more am I at peace. Oh, if in this whole matter the glory of God, the profit to souls, were not greatly served, Satan would not be opposing it so much. But he senses what he is going to lose because of it. I've now learned that Satan hates mercy more than anything else. Satan is merciless. No love. Completely out of love. You can imagine. It is the greatest torment. Still, the word of God will not pass away. God's utterance is living. Difficulties will not suppress the work of God, but show that they are God's. She suffered, first supposed to suffer, for the sake of divine mercy. And no boy understand to bring a picture to the two rays and to celebrate the feast on the first Sunday of Easter. Nobody understand what does it mean. I think for them it's too much. I don't know. On one occasion, I saw the convent of the new congregation. As I walked about inspecting everything, I suddenly saw a crowd of children who seemed to be no older than 5 to 11 years of age. When I saw, they surrounded me and began to cry out, "Defend us from evil." And they led me into the chapel which was in this convent. When I entered the chapel, I saw the distressful Lord Jesus. Jesus looked at me graciously and said that he was gravely offended by children. "You are to defend them from evil." From that moment, I have been praying for children, but I feel that prayer alone is not enough. I don't imagine. Usually, we pray for sinners. We never imagine pray for children. Not because they're sinful, but they're under attack. Very easily being attacked. They're so simple-minded, and if nobody teaching them, then there's one, you know. Oh my Jesus, you know that what efforts are needed to live sincerely and effectively with those from whom our nature flees, or with those who, deliberately or not, have made us suffer. So we want to go away from people who make us suffer. Humanly speaking, this is impossible. At such times, more than at others, I try to discover Lord Jesus in such a person, and for this same Jesus, I do everything for such person, such people. So it's very good method. Even though you want to escape, sometimes you cannot. But you have to see Jesus in each person. This is the best way. Jesus in that person. Jesus in that person is suffering also. He suffers more than we suffer. He loves the person at the same time. He embraces the person. We have to learn from Jesus. In such acts, love is pure because no condition. Usually we love with condition. She loves me, so I love her. So easy. But if she doesn't love me and I have to love her, it's another thing. This is pure love. You love a person you don't like, or the person doesn't like you, and you have to love that person, stay with that person. This is Jesus. Jesus himself. I do not expect anything from creatures, and therefore I am not disappointed. I know that a creature is full of itself. So what can one expect from it? God is everything for me. I want to evaluate everything according to God's way. My communion with the Lord is now purely spiritual. My soul is touched by God and wholly absorbed itself in Him, even to the complete forgetfulness of self. Permeated by God to its very depths, it drowns in His beauty. It completely dissolves in Him. I'm at loss to describe this, because in writing I'm making use of the senses. But there, in that union, the senses are not active. There is the merging of God and the soul. The life of God to which the soul is submitted is so great that the human tongue cannot express it. This is experience of relationship with the Lord. You can't just write, even you for your people, you love, you cannot write how much you love and how you feel about this love. It's purely spiritual. When a soul returns to its habitual form of life, it then sees that this life is all darkness and mist and dreamlike confusion, an infant's sweltering clothes. In such moments, the soul only receives from God, for of itself, it does nothing. It does not mark even the slightest effort. All in her is robbed by God. But when the soul returns to its ordinary state, it says that it is not within its power to continue in this union. Only in God we give her this complete union. These moments are short, but the efforts, the effects are lasting. The soul cannot remain long in this state, or else it would be forcibly freed of the bonds of the body forever. Even as it is, it is sustained by miracle of God, God announced so to know in clear way how much He loves it, but as though it were the only object of His delight. His delight is being one with us, consumed in us, communion. Jesus, the only idea to commune with us forever in paradise. On earth still He's waiting for us. So it's waiting for us to open our heart, let Him enter, you know, the Blessed Sacrament. We see nothing, but His love is there. But why don't we feel? Because our door is closed. We don't believe so much. We don't open. That's the problem. With kind of humility, trust in Jesus. The soul recognizes this clearly and without a veil, so to speak. It reaches out for God with all its might, but it feels like a baby. It knows that this is not within its power. We're like a baby. Even if we say we open ourselves to God, we are still incapable unless God's grace enters. That you want and want this divine adventure. Therefore, God descends to the soul and unites it to Himself in a way that, here, I must be silent, for I cannot describe what a soul experiences. You know, when Jesus comes to you, it's another experience. It's not human, supernatural. It's a strange thing that although the soul which experiences this union with God cannot find words, an expression to describe it, nevertheless, when it meets a similar soul, the two understand each other extraordinarily well in regard to these matters, even though they speak but little with each other. You know, if you open to the Lord, you open to the Lord, you open to the Lord, although you don't understand what about one another, but you feel the same spirit. You have the soul of Christ. One mind, one soul. That's what Jesus praying for, Father, that they all may be one. It's God the Father in you, in me, and in you, that they may in us are so united with God. In this way, Israel recognizes a similar soul, even if the latter has not revealed its interior life to it, but merely speaks in an ordinary way. It's a kind of spiritual kinship. Souls united with God in this way are fewer than we think. So don't think that we understand each other. We don't live much in depth with the Lord. Even you, in this, it's this extraordinary grace, that you kind of union with another soul. Extraordinary. It's a long, long way to go, for this perfection. It's something already paradise, on the edge of paradise, no? I think the Blessed Sacrament gives us the vision, the visual aids for us to keep us centered in Christ and openness in the kind of joy. Even nobody understands. Or when someday, somewhere, you get somebody understand you, you don't have to speak. If you have this kind of soul, if that other person in the same way, just one or two words, you can feel the union. Communion. This is beautiful. I've noticed that the Lord grants this grace to souls for two purposes. The first is when the soul is to do some great work, which is, humanly speaking, absolutely beyond its power. In the second case, I've noticed that the Lord grants it in order that kindred souls might be guided and set at peace, although the Lord can grant His grace as He pleases and to whomever He pleases. However, I have noticed this grace in three priests, one of whom is a secular priest, you quote, probably Father Sopoko, he is not a religious, he is an diocesan priest. And the other two, religious priests, probably is quote, Father Elter and Father Andres. And also in two religious sisters, quote, probably Mother Michael and Sister Mary Joseph, but not in the same degree. They are united. As for myself, I received this grace for the first time and that for only a brief moment in the 18th year of my life, within the octave of Corpus Christi, June 18th to 25th, 1925, during Vesper, when I made to the Lord Jesus the vow of perpetual chastity. I was still living in the world, but I entered the convent soon afterwards. The grace lasted for a very brief moment, but its power was great. After this grace, there was a long interval. It is true that I received many graces from the Lord during this interval, but they were of a different order. It was a time of trials and purification. The trials were so painful that my soul felt as though it was being totally abandoned by God. It was steeped in profound darkness. I became aware and understood that no one would be able to bring me out of those torments or even understand me. Same time, when you have the experience of God's presence in you, at the same time, times you become darkness and loneliness, solitude, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So many of the disciples were all sleeping. And he had to suffer by himself. At times we share, not that we have this grace to have the communion, the lights that we can understand one another, the joy of, you know, it's true. But at the same time, Jesus allowing us to grow through pain. There were two occasions when my soul was plunged into despair. Once for half an hour, you can imagine it. And the second time, for three quarters of an hour. Just as I cannot describe the greatness of the grace, so too with these ordeals sent by the Lord. Whatever words I might use, they are only a pale shadow of the reality. However, just as the Lord plunged me into these torments, so too He brought me out of them. Only these lasted for a few years, after which I again received this extraordinary grace of union, which has continued to this day. Still, during the second period of union, there also have been short interruptions. But for some time now, I have not experienced any interruption at all. On the contrary, I am more and more deeply steeped in God. The great light which illumines the mind gives me a knowledge of the greatness of God. But it's not as if I were getting to know the individual attributes as before. No, it is different now. In one moment, I come to know the entire essence of God. So it's the experience of God, sometimes so clear, so pure, but times fall to darkness. This is allowing us to experience that not that we be not so proud of ourselves. So, oh, how nice, we are wonderful. I can experience I've got a vision. It's okay. But still, Jesus gives us some time, some moment. And only He Himself can take you out. You said that you prayer. Yes, prayer is useful, but if not the time yet, it's the time of Jesus, time of God. In the same moment, the soul drowns entirely in Him and experiences that happiness as great as that of the chosen ones in heaven. This experience on earth, then as if the experience in heaven, always, no interruption. But on earth, still we have to still purify our intention, purified. Although the chosen ones in heaven see God face to face and are completely and absolutely happy, still the knowledge of God is not the same. Interesting, eh? God has given me to understand this. This deeper knowledge begins here on earth, depending on the grace given. But to a great extent, it also depends on our faithfulness to that grace. So start on earth to know God. Don't wait. Then you go to heaven and say, I know God. It's too little. Our Lord's of God, from today, this very moment, open ourselves, humble ourselves, humiliate ourselves, start to have this union. Step by step, God gives you the grace. And this is restored. When you go to heaven, it's you, this belongs to you. It's beautiful, eh? So don't expect, oh, don't worry, now I suffer. Future, I will get hold of God. Today, you get hold of God. One with Him. It's beautiful. So we can live heaven on earth. And this experience of Sister Faustina. So, our heart, our mind, it's in Him. The more we love, the more we can love the labor. The more we can stay with people who hate us. Because we are not living for ourselves, only for Jesus. And this is heaven on earth, you know. So try hard, not to die hard, eh? Try hard. So live this experience, the union with the Lord.